talks about the party's responsibility. Here in the GTA zone, where you and I live, God would have us to function in that capacity as lights. In England, before electricity, the street lights were lit by gas lamps. Each evening, a lamplighter would go around to light those lamps. One evening, a man was sitting in his house looking out the window. Across the valley was a street located on a hillside. There he could see one lamp after another being lit by the lamplighter as he went along the way. Because of the darkness, however, he could not see the lamplighter. Only his burning torch and the trail of lights that he left behind. And I thought to myself, what an excellent picture of what the Lord wants us to be in our world as Christians. Remember, Jesus didn't mince any words when he challenged his disciples to go light up their world. The challenge he left with them has been passed on to you and I. What does it mean to go light up our world? Find out today as we spend the next few minutes reflecting on the implications of Jesus' words to all who are willing to follow him. But first, let me ask you this question. When you think of light in the physical sense, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? When I think of it, I think of the sun. Now, we've been taught that the sun is the center of the solar system. Thus, it has often been thought of as the light of the world. Why has that conclusion been drawn? Let's look at some stats that I think reveal to us the sun's greatness. There's several I'd like to draw to your attention. Number one, the sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. That's a long way away. To try and put that into perspective, I want you to think of a baby, tiny baby, and this baby is going to start to fly to the sun, traveling at 150 miles per hour. That's faster than you're allowed to drive your car. Some people do, they'll get a hefty fine, but to travel at 150 miles per hour, that baby would have grown to be nearly 71 years of age by the time you would arrive at the sun. That's a long distance, isn't it? A long way to travel. Astronomers estimate that the diameter of the sun is 109 times that of the Earth. That's huge. 109 times the size of the Earth. Its output of energy is 70,000 horsepower per square yard per minute. Isn't that amazing? And lastly, the temperature of the sun's surface is about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. But friends, the sun, in spite of its greatness, is not the light of the world. In fact, the Bible clearly states that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one who made the sun. He existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit back at the time of creation. In fact, Jesus declared in John 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But then, notice in Scripture that Jesus says something very strange in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 14. As a result of what I've just said, you now may find it a bit confusing. For Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "You are the light of the world." That raises a big question, doesn't it? If Jesus is the light of the world, How in the world can you or I function in that capacity as well? How can both be really true? There's only one way. It's when we choose to become Christian. Repenting of our sin and trusting Christ as our personal Savior, then Christ comes to live within our lives. It is then that we are born into God's family, and then, friends, something very dramatic happens. Jesus comes to live in us by means of His Holy Spirit. So it's really His light that shines through us as we endeavor to live and honor Him. Let me explain it this way. I have in my hand here this morning a light bulb. Is there any light coming from that light bulb? No. Sounds like a pretty good light bulb. It's not rattling, there's no bad sound coming from it. So why is it not working? You see, it looks like a perfectly good light bulb. At least I hope it is when I take the next step. Here's the problem. It can't produce light in and of itself. It only will produce light as it is connected to an electrical outlet. Here we go around. That is plugged in down below. So I'll put this light in here. Lights up. Friends, the same is true of us. You and I are not intrinsically light. But if we are Christians, we are God's reflectors. And the only way many in our world are going to ever see Jesus is when they see Jesus in us. It's in that way that we function as the light of the world. The question is, how? What is the purpose of light in the physical sense? When we contemplate that, we will then understand, I believe, our role as a Christian. First of all, light is meant to be seen. It is important that we understand what it was like to live back in Jesus' day. It was far, far different than the homes in which we live today. The homes in Palestine were very, very dark. They had only one little window, perhaps not more than 18 inches across. The lamp that lit their home was like a saucer boat, filled with oil with the wick floating in it. Now, in that day, it was not so easy to rekindle a lamp, because this was before matches existed. Normally the lamp stood on the lampstand, which would be no more than a roughly shaped branch of wood. So when people left their homes for safety's sake, they took the lamp from its stand and they put it under an earthen bushel so that it might burn without risk until they came back to that home. But the primary purpose of the light was that it might be seen. Same is true of us as Christians. As someone has well said, there can be no such thing as a secret discipleship. For either the secrecy destroys the discipleship, or the discipleship destroys the secrecy. See, the way we live out our lives, Christian lives, should be visible to all people. Not just here in our church setting. It should be visible in our ordinary activities outside the church. Should affect the way we treat a person at the grocery store, the way we order a meal in the restaurant, the way we treat fellow employees or employer, or the way we play a game, or the way we drive our car, or in the daily language we use, or the reading material that is found on our coffee table. You know, today, many people have candles in their homes. but we don't buy them as the primary source of light for our home. That only happens when the power goes out, which of course many of us experienced during the ice storm, as you see a picture of it here, several years ago in the month of December. It was off for several days, and what a predicament we were in when that happened. In Canada, candles are often used for ambiance, often to set a romantic tone. Don't you love the smell of candles in the candle shop? You know, they're wonderful. But you see, that's totally different than it was back in the day of our Lord. They never used a candle for beauty's sake. I don't think Mary and Martha used pretty little candles in the fine hospitality they showed Jesus when he visited in their home. No, a candle was there for the sole purpose of giving light. Now listen, what was the light of the candle illuminating? The candle, was it illuminating the candle? No. The purpose of a candle was to illuminate something else. The purpose of you as a Christian is not to draw attention to yourself, but through your light, you may show what the Lord is really like, and people need to find that out. Your purpose is to reflect His light to others. Not only is light meant to be seen, however, times light, secondly, is meant to function as a guide. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You see, on any major large river, we may see the line of lights, which makes the channel for the ships to sail in safety. We know how difficult it is in a city when the lights have gone out. Light is meant to make the way clear. A Christian must make the way clear for others. In other words, a Christian must be an example. Suppose there's a group of people who suggest some questionable thing should be done. Unless someone makes a protest, that thing will be done. Someone needs to rise and say, "I will not be a part of it." Unless someone takes the lead, there are many who will not have the courage to make a moral stand on their own. The world, friends, today needs its guiding lights. There are those in our world who are waiting. There are those in our world who are longing someone who will take the lead. And then they are prepared to follow. Will you be that someone? A guiding light in someone's life. Number three, a light is also used as a warning. Light is often used to tell us to halt when there is some sort of danger ahead. That is sometimes our responsibility as Christians. It's difficult to do. We don't really like to get involved in that manner, but sometimes it's necessary. One of the tragedies in life is for someone, especially say a young person or a young Christian, to come and say to us, "I would never have been in that situation if you only had spoken up in time." If our warnings are given not in anger, not in irritation, not in criticism, not in condemnation, not in the desire to hurt, but in love, they will have their best effect on the life of that person. Number four, light is used to penetrate the darkness. Remember, light only has meaning in an environment of darkness. To function as the light of the world means that we as Christians are to penetrate that darkness, the darkness of our world, in order to expose the evil that is round about. That's what John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21 has to say. "This is the verdict, that light has come into the world. Men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Number 5. Light also is often used for security purposes. And we have, as you ever come down the side here between the church and the house next door, see that we have a special light that will come on the moment you begin to walk between the house and the church. It was placed there to discourage anyone who would be tempted otherwise to do wrong. Spiritually, we are also to function as a security light to prevent wrong from occurring. Take, for instance, gossip. The Bible is clear that gossip is a sin, but it is also accurately described in Proverbs like a juicy morsel. You see, it's very tempting to gossip. However, if that is the problem you face, don't you find that being around someone who abstains from gossiping will be like a security light to discourage you from partaking of some of those juicy morsels? Number 6. Light is also used to promote growth in plants. As we shine brightly for Jesus, we can help others to grow in their walk with God. There's another thing to remember about how light functions. Very important. At times, it will be costly. It will be costly. You see, there's a price to all of this. A candle is useless if it isn't burning. When you are acting as a light for Jesus, it will cost you something. You might burn up one of your opportunities to move up the ladder of success in order to be that light. You may lose some friends in endeavoring to be that light. I'm not talking here about being strange. I'm just talking about a normal Christian who just lets his light shine for Jesus. So at times when you function as light, it will indeed cost something. Then there's a perversion light, which happens, I think, far too often. How does it occur? It's by putting your light under a bushel. Why in the world would a person ever do that? Well, I've already explained that in the Bible times it was done to protect the lamp from going out while the family was away. That doesn't apply to Christians. Wherever we are to function as light. There's no time when we're off duty. We're always on active duty. So why would a Christian ever want to hide his light under a bushel? I know a lot of Christians do that. How many of you have ever been guilty of that? I was. In high school, I struggled with endeavoring to share my faith. In fact, I never very little of that. And at other times as well. But I certainly didn't feel good about it when that happened. Quite frankly, I did it because I was embarrassed about my faith. Embarrassed to come across as being different. Let's not be embarrassed about shining as a Christian. Is there anyone where you work, in your class at school, who doesn't know you're a Christian? Or at least that there's something special about you that causes them to wonder what makes you different? See, there ought to be something about you that is so different and distinct and makes others suspicious in a good way. You're going to want to find out what makes you so different. If you haven't verbalized your faith, are you willing and ready to give them an answer for why you are the way you are and that opportunity should come? Scripture tells us to. So hide your light under a bushel. Remember that old chorus we used to sing? We used to sing it all the time. electrical? And the answer was, no. No. Let it shine for Jesus. So what is the benefit of doing that? Listen to Jesus' words once again to his followers. Let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Here we have the definition of what it means to let your light shine. Did you see that in the verse? Letting your light shine is equal to good works in this verse. Well, someone may say this morning, good works don't count. Oh, but they do matter. It depends upon which side of salvation you put them. In God's eyes, good works don't matter before you're saved. As the Bible says, your good works don't save you. In fact, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not something that we can boast about. But it also goes on to say in the same passage that if we are a Christian, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So just make sure you get your good works on the right side of salvation. Letting your light shine is synonymous to good works you do after you are saved. Jesus didn't say, let your light so shine that people will see your good works and glorify you as a good worker. No. Some people get mixed up about that. The Bible says, let your light so shine that others will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So does that ever happen? Absolutely. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Daniel. Daniel is a prototype of today's cultural Christian. As you remember, back in the 5th century before Christ, Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylon and he besieged Jerusalem. His plan for taking over that part of the world, he took some Jewish hostages out of Jerusalem to Babylon for the express purpose of amalgamating them into the Babylonian culture. He wanted these boys to look Jewish on the outside, but to be Babylonian on the inside. And his purpose was to send them back into their Jewish culture under his control as Babylonians, so he could quell the riots that would occur in that area of the land. Daniel was one of his hostages who had been taken. They tried to brainwash him. Remember, first they tried to get him to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. They changed his name. They took away his name, Daniel, a name that related him to Elohim, which refers to the one and only true God. They called him Belteshazzar, to relate him to some foreign god. Everything they did was to try and take away from Daniel the integrity of his faith. As they tried to brainwash him through 4 different dynasties and cultures, he experienced, friends, everything there was to experience. But Daniel continued to be faithful to his God. Everything they tried was foiled because Daniel just continued doing what God wanted him to do. Every time they tried to get him to compromise, he said no. Daniel kept his position in the government despite opposition because he kept accurate budgets. He turned in faithful reports. He lived a godly, righteous life. Every time his faith was challenged, he stood strong. Daniel was a consistent light in a morally dark world. They threatened him. He said, I don't care. Do what you need to do. Friends, he was God's man in God's place in God's work. For the person person who does that, you know something? He is immortal until God is done with him. So weird. God has called us and equipped us to bear light as a testimony to our community. What happens often in God's church is a tendency to sit back, tendency to be comfortable and to be satisfied, well-fed and well-nourished, and forget that we have a ministry of illuminating our world that is beyond these walls. We are placed in this world to light up the darkness. You say, how does it start? Well, you don't need a program to do it. It starts with each one of us who is a Christian being a light in the place where God has placed us. That's why in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before people that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What should be grabbing the attention of those around you is God himself and work in and through your life. There are people who will see you only at work, people who will see you on your street or in the apartment complex where you live. You're going to come across people, many who are lost, who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There are many that are confused. They don't know which way to turn. And yet they see that you seem to know the way. Because of the light of the Lord shining through you, you may have the privilege of having influence upon that life to either lead them to the Lord or putting a seed in their heart. Someone else will follow up and have an effect upon them in reaching them with the gospel. So shine for Jesus. Go light up your world. We all should be challenged to do that this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. And ask God to make this real in our own lives and experience before we have our closing song. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us the incredible privilege to be the means of reaching our world. You have chosen to work by the Holy Spirit through your people so that we in a dark world may be lights. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to live out our role as lights in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to conclude by singing two choruses that would relate to this whole thing that we've been talking about this morning. And trust that the choruses that you want to sing throughout the week.